Welcome to episode 113 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. At the end of last week, I launched the latest set of dates for the Active Photographer Jolly Photography Weekends. As these events are all about getting out there and making great pictures, I thought it might be nice to follow up with a little inspiration in the form of another photo industry chat. Regular listeners will know that I often talk about how photography technique isn't the be-all and end-all, and that it can be pretty frustrating to see people getting so caught up in the technical side of what we do. In this week's show, then, I'm giving you a conversation which I've kept under wraps since it was recorded at this year's Focus on Imaging. Many of you will have heard of internationally acclaimed photographer Peru. You might even have seen him at Focus or read his online journal. Regardless, one thing is apparent about this man. Whilst he does regularly photograph some of the biggest names in the world, it's a raw love of photography which drives him to be creative behind the camera. Ditching talk of f-stops and shutter speeds, we instead mused over the joys of taking pictures pure and simple. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 113. So, I'm at the gallery space again, here at Focus on the Imaging, and this time I have the internationally renowned photographer, let's be unmodest about this, Peru, who has got his exhibition on here. Peru's here talking on the Hasselblad stand and all sorts of other things, and I thought we'd just catch up and have a chat. We're not going to talk about cameras and technical stuff, because at the end of the day, he's not a technical photographer. And yeah, let's just talk about pictures. Peru takes pictures every day for himself, or for clients, or probably both.
Both, yeah. I mean, I don't shoot every day for clients, but I do shoot every day for myself. I keep an online diary, which has been going for... It was 2002 we started, and it was just words, and since 2005 it's been pictures every day.
And this is at a time when people said you were crazy for doing it. No one's going to want to look at that. Why are you wasting your time with it?
Yeah, that's it. It was pre-blogging, and not many photographers had diaries online at the time. But I'm happy to see that everybody does now. I follow quite a lot of photographers' diaries, and I like to see it if photographers keep it up. I don't like it if I start following a photographer and he doesn't do it every day. I like people to share my affliction of having to do the photos every day.
I think a lot of photographers, they have good intentions. And they think, oh, I'm going to take it. People that do 365 projects, they think, I'm going to take a picture every day. And actually, keeping up, when I think the difference is, you do it because you love it, and it's not like, I have to do this every day. You do it because it's a natural, it's in you, it's what
I mean,
you want to do.
I would say I do love it, but I also have to do it every day. Yeah. It's like a compulsion. It's kind of like a happy compulsion, but if I feel really, really bad if I don't do... Like, last night I was drunk and I didn't get to do my diary last night, so I did it this morning.
Yeah.
And it felt bad that I was having to do it on a different day than I was talking about. I normally do it the day that I...
Do you ever kind of adjust the timeline, the date on it?
No,
you
never.
You don't feel that bad that you kind of want to cheat the system?
No, there's only one day that I've missed in the last 7 years, and that was a day that I accidentally photographed a girlfriend of mine in the shower that my wife wasn't happy about, and so that day got deleted. There's just an entry that says this was the day that was.
So good. So, I mean, as we sat here, we've got... Jeff Williams' pictures down the end here, we've got Matt Seale's pictures at the far end, and your pictures are along the longest wall here, and okay, they're sort of, you know, well-known people, but the thing about it is they're dynamic, they've got colour in them. And a question that George and I were just talking about this, and George is leaning over my shoulder here, we've got a picture of Jessie J.
Yes.
And you've got the very tips of her feet cut off in the shot. Now,
sounds like my mum. I quite often cut people's body parts off, normally the tops of people's heads, and my mum complains. She's always like that girl, she's got the top of her head cut off, that guy's got his hand cut off, and Yeah, you have to cut some bits off if you want to get in close.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, if you're not prepared to cut any part of somebody off, then you're going to have a full-length picture every time. And people used to criticise me for not shooting close enough, because I always used to shoot full-length. And it wasn't until somebody mentioned it to me that I realised, shit, yeah, actually, that is a really weird thing, that I only photograph people full-length. So now I have to force myself in sometimes.
So do you think, I mean, it's a matter of inches. It's not like you're doing a three-quarter shot.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like again, with his hand, you know, I could quite easily... There's enough space at the bottom of that frame to have his hand in.
Yeah.
But when you're cutting in tight, it creates a dynamism of closeness. Yeah. Even that shot is full length, but he's still got his hand cut off. You are in as close on the full length as you can be.
Do you think people overanalyze pictures, either whether it's their own pictures or commercial pictures, or?
I do not think about my pictures at all. When I first get my pictures back and I'm retouching them, I'm really excited about them, and then I tend to forget about them. And occasionally I'll revisit the archive, and you know, if I'm doing a talk or something, I'll be pulling out pictures and I'll be excited about them again.
Yeah.
But I don't spend time thinking about my pictures, and I do know that a lot of people do think about my pictures and other people's pictures and do overanalyze them and think that I'm putting in, like that thing, if you heard the talk we were talking about, the Helen Mirren thing, where people thought that I was Illuminati and I was reinforcing an Illuminati message. She had conjunctivitis. Yeah. There was no question of Helen Mirren being Illuminati, and I'm not Illuminati, but you know, if somebody wants to read that into it, then it amuses the hell out of me, and I'm quite happy. The thing we did in the Philippines last year, we were taking pictures of everybody we photographed we had covering one eye, just to, you know, upset people that would be upset about those things.
But I think that's the thing. I mean, photography is such an open medium.
Yeah.
You know, and it frustrates me. I mean, with the active photographer, people send me emails and messages asking about what kit and how long did it take to do this. But at the end of the day, sometimes I tripped over something on the floor and my camera went off, and that ended up being the best shot of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't really
happy
always
accidents.
Matter. Yeah.
No, we, you know, there are photographers, and like you, I know you've interviewed George, and George is a very technical photographer, and I look at his pictures and I'm like really wowed by the technique of those pictures. But like I said to him yesterday, you know, my pictures are pictures that technically anybody could do. There's not a great technical wowness there. They're very simple pictures, but I'm kind of concentrating on what's inside the pictures.
Yeah.
And you don't need a lot of kit or a certain camera to do that.
And this is something that you mentioned when you gave your presentation at the Hasselblad stand a couple of hours ago. You know, you were saying just one light or maybe two lights is enough.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you go further.
Yeah, yeah,
sometimes
the
job requires it. Other times you just want to try something different.
Yeah, I think the thing is, for me, because I'm shooting all the time, I like to change it up. And, you know, if we've been doing... We were doing stuff, you get into a rut, and when you realise that you're in a rut, like I was doing stuff with four heads quite a lot, and it was like my kind of default setup, four heads. And when you start going, hold on a minute, all my shirts are looking the same, then you go, right, let's do something really different, and let's try something that you're not supposed to do. Let's shoot directly into the light. Let's, you know, let's use a bare head without any accessories on it.
Because I think, you know, we obviously alluded to this at the start. You know, you are of a certain calibre. You have certain people in front of your lens, and that's great. But when you look at these shots that are here, it's the form, it's the shapes, it's the colour that has the impact. We got a picture here of Justin Timberlake with a massive great explosion behind him, but again, single shot, lit simply, and you know,
well, yeah, there's one light and one big fireball. It's not there's no retouching in that picture. He's that is as he was, so
yeah. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people would, you know, see certain photographers that their work might be in sort of Vanity Fair or whatever, and they'll assume that everything is very high production, and it may take hours as it is just because of the people management or whatever, but that everything is so sort of heavily worked and what have you. But I was saying something the other day, Mario Testino, I believe, Diana's Princess Diana's favourite photographer, used to shoot a lot of her stuff on a compact camera because it broke. They didn't have that barrier. They just were good friends. And
yeah, I mean, he definitely shoots a lot of stuff in daylight.
Yeah,
you know, I know that we get our lights from the same people, and quite often he doesn't use the lights that he has ready to do his shoot. You know, they're there if he needs them, but quite often he'll shoot in daylight.
And daylight is,
you know, I don't think there's any shots in daylight here, but I shoot in daylight as much as possible because you don't have to think about it. It's there, and quite often in studios you're trying to recreate daylight anyway.
Yeah.
Directional sunlight or soft light, there's all different versions of daylight. God's done it better and we're trying to copy it.
Yeah. And earlier you spoke about a shot that you had to do of Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And you literally had, was it two frames, but you got three in there.
Yeah.
I was interested to know, is that, with that, what was your setup, in terms, not the technical setup, the time to set it up and being there, obviously the time difference was vast because you had just a few minutes with him, but was that a single light setup? So
it was one big softbox.
Yeah, so he just walked in, you got your three shots and...
He walked out again.
Yeah.
He walked out again without saying anything to me at all. Yeah.
So again, you know, it's not all glamour even at the highest levels.
No, there were pictures of me taken on that day lying on the floor, knackered. Obviously we're on a different time zone being in Pittsburgh, and we'd done several shoots before. We were shooting for Vanity Fair, but it was One Young World, the charity, and so it was people like Josh Stone, Jamie Oliver, Bob Geldof, Bill Clinton, but Bill Clinton has a habit, allegedly, of keeping people waiting, and so the whole delegation was set up ready to be photographed with him stepping in, and then he just didn't turn up. So everyone, they all left and we're left there, and then it's like, oh well, maybe you could go in the green room, so you're there when he comes out of the green room, just catch a shot. So it happened.
You know, it's I had a question lined up and I've totally forgotten what it was, but
That's right.
You know, at the end of the day, you got to enjoy your photography, whatever you're photographing.
I think that's a problem as well, because a lot of professional photographers don't enjoy their photography.
Yeah.
It's a job to them.
Yeah.
And for me, it isn't a job at all. Like I think I said earlier, I'm lucky that I get paid to do something that I'd be doing anyway.
Yeah.
This for me is a lifestyle, and it's something that I enjoy and I love, but it's also a compulsion and I can't not do it. So I think keeping the passion for it is very important, and it's something that a lot of people lose.
I thought my question,
yes.
You were talking earlier about notebooks and making sketches before shots, and you were also saying how you'll have a shot in mind with a particular person, and I think someone in the crowd asked what happens if the subject doesn't want to do that or it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
So you've obviously got some sort of a contingency, but that's where the creativity and quick thinking kicks in. And
sometimes I come up with like 10 ideas when I only need two, and we'll talk about what they like and what they don't like, and we'll go with the idea that the person that I'm photographing likes. Sometimes they won't like anything that I've suggested, and I will need to freestyle on my feet very quickly and come up with something. Sometimes it's really not awe-inspiring, but daunting, that you can be in a really bland hotel room with a celebrity or, you know, an actor or a musician or something, and you have to come up with an iconic, great photograph in a really bland hotel room with mirrors on the walls or paintings, and you know, you haven't actually got much to work with. Sometimes it's easier if you're on location and there's stuff for people to bounce off of, or there's some props around, but it is hard sometimes and very concerning. Like, we just did a shoot, funnily enough, for I wasn't allowed to show today in the slideshow, which was annoying because I wanted to use it to illustrate some of my things about One Light. But we've done a shoot for like an advertorial for Victor, Hasselblad's new magazine, the next issue that comes out, issue 2, and we were shooting in the basement of Shoreditch House in London, which is a windowless, low-ceilinged concrete room. It's a horrible smelling room of beer. It smells of beer. It looks terrible. But we had to come up with like 12 pages of fashion and and everyone is very happy and impressed with it. But like at the time that I started, I was like, how on earth am I going to make this look good? It looks awful in it.
And you said earlier that, you know, you're not afraid to recycle ideas. Literally the
totally
same.
Totally like to copy
the
myself.
Idea of someone throwing a chair at the camera.
Yeah, it's been done three times. three different. I would say, like Gary Newman used to be proud of having a top 10 hit or a top 10 hit in every decade. I'm not quite sure if I've used a shot of somebody throwing a chair at me in every five-year span of my career, but it probably has been that.
Do people ever pick up on that, saying, oh, didn't you do
this
shot with so-and-so?
No, they didn't.
So far enough in the past.
No, and the funny thing is that I'm a really big fan of Edvard Munch, the painter. Mm. Now, Munch used to have... he used to copy himself all the time. Mm. Now, when you're a painter and you copy yourself, you keep putting in the same things. People call it a motif.
Yeah.
And they go, oh wow, Edward Dunk's motif, a moon reflected in the water. It looks a bit like a penis. Amazing. And he has it in like almost every picture that he did. Whereas I like the idea of having a motif. I do use things quite often. Like there's a really strong shadow in that Jesse J picture.
Yeah.
I use really strong shadows quite a lot at the moment. Like I was saying also in the talk, I use... red, white and black quite a lot, just red, white and black without any other colours. And so whether I'm trying to do it on purpose, which I probably am if you think about it, or whether it's kind of subconscious, the idea of having motifs and repeating things that people go, that's got to be a Peru because it's, look at the hard shadows, it's black, white and red, it's got to be Peru. You know, I think that at the moment I feel quite playful with what we're doing and really lucky that I'm doing jobs that are enabling me to mess about and have fun with photography, and I think that's keeping it fresh for me. I'm not just doing the same thing over and over again.
So, okay, parting thoughts. We've got thousands of people come to Focus every year, and they're all, not all, a lot of them are all about the gear.
Yeah.
They're, you know, it's what camera people use, what have you. What are your parting, I don't know how you want to phrase it, whether you want top tips or your parting thoughts to leave people with?
Yeah. I think I alluded to this in the talk, but like, I would like to think that it's not about the kit, it's about the photographer behind the kit that gets the photograph. But like I said, if that was the case, I would use cheap equipment, and I don't. I use the most expensive camera that I can afford. I use Hasselblad to shoot on, I use ISO screens to retouch on, I use wrong colour lighting to do my shoots. I think it's important to... buy, and you know, there is a price quality ratio. There is a reason why the most expensive cameras are expensive, because they are the best.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, why would anybody choose to shoot on less than best equipment? So I think the most important thing to do is to use the equipment, the most expensive equipment, i.e. best quality equipment that you can, to get the best results.
Very wise words. And on that note, I think we'll leave it there. As usual, I will be linking to anything that we might have talked about in the show notes. For those of you that missed my conversation with George, I will link to that podcast as well. You might want to put a link in there as well, Peru, to yourself. We've got a new studio opening up.
Yes, we've got the Bow Bunker, which is now open in Bow.
Excellent.
I'll give you that, and yeah, come good to the Bow Bunker.
So that is www.bowbunker.com, but again, don't worry about the link because I'll put it in the show notes. So for now, Peru, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'll also be bringing you one final live Focus on Imaging chat in the coming weeks. And don't forget, all the details about the photography weekends, the Active Photographer Jolly, can be found on the website. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.